Today we're going to start a study on I am a church member. And I've been reading through this book, and it's entitled I Am a Church Member. And it's a really small book. I like these kind of books. These are manageable books for me. I can sit down and go, I can do that. I can conquer that size book. Not only is it small this way, it's also small this way. Good thing. You ever pick up one of those books that you look at it and you're like, that's really small. And then you turn it sideways and it's like that thick. Yeah, it's not one of those. It's small every direction. But it's deep in membership and the idea behind what it means to be a church member. No, I am not going to read you the book. No, I am not going to preach every single point of the book. And no, I am not. I'm just really actually using that as a leaping point. If you want to buy the book and read that, great. Everything I say is not going to be in there, and everything they say is not going to be in here. And so I'm just proclaiming God's word. And so I want to talk today about being a functioning church member. This is a six-week series, and basically there's six commitments that are made throughout this series. And the first one is a commitment to be a functioning church member. And we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 31 today as our main topic. But the idea of membership is kind of maybe a scary topic for some, maybe an exciting topic for some, maybe an annoying topic for others. It seems like every time you go shopping today, you're asked to become a member of something, right? Would you like to get our points membership card, sir? No, I don't. Would you like to join our rewards, sir? Well, let me go through the process. Here's what happens in my mind. I think, okay, does it cost me anything? No, there's no fee. Okay. Am I going to get any benefit whatsoever out of this? Oh, yes, you'll get all sorts of coupons and all sorts of points that'll be added up, and eventually you'll get like a dollar off of something after coming for a year. Okay. Sweet. Do I have to track this at all? Is it going to become time-consuming at all for me? Oh, no. It's very easy. Do I have to carry an extra card in my wallet? That's my big one. No. It's linked to your phone number. Okay. Sure. Why not? And that's what I do when it comes to somebody asking me if I want to become a member of something. And then eventually I get annoyed at the emails that are linked to my account, and I just unsubscribe to everything because I don't want an extra 40 emails a day telling me that I get 5% off of something if I sign up for a credit card. I don't care. I just wanted to get out of the store and buy the item I wanted. And that's how we treat membership in general a lot. What does it benefit me? What do I get out of membership? Do you remember your very first membership ever? Mine was to a place called Armchair Video. It burnt down about 3 years after I got the membership, but about a block from my house, there was a video store, a family-owned, family-run video store in Clio, Michigan. And we could walk down there on a Friday, or we could walk down there during the summer, and we had our own membership number, and we could walk in and we could check out, rent a movie. These were back before DVDs. This was when we used the big DVDs, as my kids call them. The VHS, the Be Kind Rewind, that you needed a separate rewinder because your VCR wasn't quick enough to rewind, so you'd put that thing in there and it'd go just in case you didn't rewind and allow yourself enough time to rewind it before you had to return it, because it had to be back at a certain time, 12 o'clock the next day, so that somebody else could check it out the next night. But there was some benefits to this membership. I could walk in, and basically it was what I wanted when I wanted. If I wanted to get what movie I wanted, I'd find it on the wall, and this would entertain me for that day. And then I'd basically walk out with whatever I wanted to take out of that store after paying for it at a small fee, a dollar for two movies or whatever it was back then. And I'd go home and I'd watch it if I wanted and recall it if I wanted and maybe watch it twice if I wanted, and then I'd go do it again. I think we treat church membership that way sometimes, which becomes kind of a pick and choose what we want and what we don't want to be part of church membership. And we, as long as they don't ask for too much giving, then we'll be a part of it. Because honestly, what happened to that movie store was VG's down the street. I don't know if you've ever heard of VG's. It was a grocery store. They offered a better deal. And so our membership got moved because it was cheaper. It asked less investment out of my wallet. And so I got to invest for like 3 movies for $1 or something like that. I don't know what it was, but there was better deals. Buy one, get one free Tuesdays. I don't know what they were. But that's how membership works in a lot of times. And that's how church membership works. As long as they don't ask me to give too much or put too much time in, I'm okay being a part of that. And I'm going to pick and choose what I want to grab out of it. And I'm going to come and I'm just going to sit and enjoy. And then I'm going to walk out the door and I'll take home and I'll grab some here and some there. And then I'll just go throughout my week. But honestly, that's not the design behind membership and the church body that God calls us to follow. And so as I started to look through this idea of membership and this idea of being a part of a church family and aligning myself with a church family, the first question was raised, is membership even biblical? Because I've heard that argument. Membership is not biblical at all. Why in the world do we even ask people to join a church or be a part of it? Why can't they just float from church to church to church whenever they want? And isn't there just this universal body of believers out there? And that's what we're really just a part of, this giant body of Christ. But honestly, when you start to look through the New Testament, half of the New Testament is written to individual bodies of believers. As you go through the book of Romans, it says who it's written to, the church in Rome, Galatians, the church in Galatia, Ephesians, the church in Ephesus, Philippians, the church in Philippi, and you go over and over and over, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, Philemon, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, all written to individual church bodies that were located in individual places. And so we can grab out of this the importance of, because nowhere in any of those letters does it say this: what are you doing having your own church? What are you doing as one individual body? What are you thinking? That is so not biblical. It's nowhere in there. In fact, when you start to read through Timothy, it calls for this example setting in elders and leaders within the church, in pastors and deacons. Why in the world would there be a need for elders and pastors and deacons if there was no individual church? So there was this setting that we read our passage in today of an individual church that was being addressed. Hebrews also addresses believers in the same way, talking about leaders within the church. And actually says in chapter 13, verse 17, talks about leaders and the accountability that they will be held to as leaders within the church. Am I accountable for every single church in the world as a leader? Man, what a burden that would be. But I am accountable for this body of believers. And the elders are accountable for this body of believers. And that itself is overwhelming, to think God has placed us here to lead when we need to be led. We are not perfect people. And so it's what an overwhelming thought of the accountability that we will face as leaders. And so just another example of the structure of the church. So as we get into 1 Corinthians today, I want you to remember that this was written to an individual church, and I would just want to read that to you. You can turn to the very beginning of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 says this. Paul, called as an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will, in Sothenes, our brothers, to God's church at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus and called as saints, with all those in every place who call on the name of the Lord Jesus, both their Lord and ours. I'm going to pray as we begin. Lord, this passage today that we're about to read and go through was written to a body of believers. Lord, help us to have a soft heart to hear your word today. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Lord, from children to adults, help every single person know just how important they are to the body of believers here at RBF. Lord, challenge us, direct us, help us to grow closer to you. Lord, may your word always be proclaimed here boldly, but with love, Lord. We are not perfect people. Lord, we all need your forgiveness and your grace each and every single day. So, Lord, help us to humbly approach your word, wanting to hear from you today. Teach us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to look at one key attitude, which is the key attitude of, I will be a functioning church member. But there's several different realizations that lead into this functioning church membership. And the first one we'll find as we read through this in verse 18 through 22, but we're going to read the whole thing first. And so reading from verse 12 through verse 31 in 1 Corinthians 12, and we'll have it on the projection behind me, but I ask if you would have a Bible, please follow along in your Bible, so that you can see that I am not making this up. This is God's word. And so let's read together. For as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free. And we were all made to drink of one Spirit. So the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, in spite of this, it still belongs to the body. And if an ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, in spite of this, it still belongs to the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But now, God has placed each one of the parts in one body, just as he wanted. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? Now there are many parts, yet one body. So the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Or again, the hand cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. But even more, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are necessary. And those parts of the body that we think to be less honorable, we clothe those with greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have a better presentation. But our presentable parts have no need of clothing. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but the members would have the same concern for each other. So if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. And God has placed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, next miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, managing, various kinds of languages. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all do miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in other languages? Do all interpret? But desire the greater gift, and I will show you an even better way. As we read this passage, there is a picture of the human body. None of us are one big foot just walking around. None of us are one big nose walking around, an eyeball rolling down the aisle. That'd be kind of odd if that happened. We just don't see that. We all have many parts, many members to our body. And that's the picture of the church. Every single part is needed and every single part is necessary for the body to work in proper function. When something is off in the body, we know pretty quickly that something's off. Things aren't just lining up quite right. Things aren't working the way they're supposed to. And we get pretty worried about it. But what about the body of Christ? And we're told that there are separate parts of the body that do separate functions, and they're all necessary, every single one, even the less honorable, are very necessary. What about the body of Christ? Every single person is necessary for the functioning of the body. And so what if one person says, I'm going to check out. I'm not going to function within the body of Christ. I'm just going to come, sit down, stand up, leave and go home, and then do that over and over and over. Really, that's going to be my function. I am going to make sure the chairs have sufficient padding every week. That role has been taken. There's enough people that come and sit and leave and come and sit and leave and never do what God has called them to do within the body of Christ. And so we see these examples here, and I want to kind of break this down a little bit. In verse 18 through verse 22, we see the first point kind of spelled out here. And the first realization that leads to the attitude of a functioning church member. And verse 18 says this, but now God has placed each one of the parts in one body just as he wanted. See, God placed each one of the parts here within the church, just as he wanted it to be. And he goes on and he says this, and if they were all the same, where would the body be? That's a great question. If they were all the same part, if you were all me, where would the body be? We would all be up here, standing right here, right now, looking out at nothing. And what if we had nobody who was willing to love on children in children's church and to care for kids in the nursery and to greet people at the door as they walk in and to be an encourager within the body? And to play the piano or guitar or sing or do any of those things. Or behind the scenes, clean the church. Every week there'd be a dirty mess. And every week there'd be no one up here to do anything. And it would just be like any other membership. A card that you stick in your wallet that you never use and never gets any rewards ever. You see, God has designed the body in a different way. As we read this, it says, he placed each part in one body. He personally put them there for a reason, just as he wanted it to be. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? Now, there are many parts, yet one body. So the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Or again, the hand cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. But even more, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are necessary. The first realization is to realize that membership means that every single part is necessary. Whether you think you're not necessary because you're not up here singing or you're not playing an instrument, you think you have no talents, that's not true. Every single part is necessary. God has given you gifts that many times we don't even think are gifts, that we think, I can't use that for God. I can't use that in the church. I can't use that as part of God's body. And you can. Are you willing just to say, God, I may see myself as unnecessary, but I know your word says I am necessary. And so reveal to me where you want me to be this necessary part. What I can do to plug in to the body of Christ, to be functioning. The next part, we're going to read in 1 Corinthians 14 through 18. And then we're going to jump down to 26. 14 through 18. Yeah, we're going backwards, I know, but that's okay. So the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand and not belong to the body, in spite of this, it still belongs to the body. And if an ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, in spite of this, it still belongs to the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? And then we get back to that verse we just read. God has placed each one of the parts in one body, just as he wanted it to be. We have this tendency within the church to look around, like we're just talking about looking up here and saying, because I don't do that, I'm not a vital part of this body of Christ. Why don't we stop just looking around and saying, because I'm not this, because I'm not this, because I'm not him or her, then I can't. And just be willing to do what we just challenged you to do and ask God where and when you are to get involved. You see, when the whole church doesn't function as it should, doesn't get involved as it should, like the different members are called to be here, there is a suffering that happens. In verse 27 and 28, verse 26 talks about this suffering. So if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. The suffering, a lot of times we read that and we think they're in pain and the whole church suffers with it. But think about the body itself. If it's not working properly the way it should be working, the whole body suffers. Several years ago, I had carpal tunnel surgery on one hand, and then a little bit later, I had carpal tunnel surgery on the other hand. And there was a suffering that went through my whole body because of the pain I was having on my hands. I woke up every hour, all night long, hands killing me. I couldn't sleep, just in pain constantly. I'd worked in machine shops for about 15 years, and I was a drummer and many other things. And so my hands were constantly being used. And so my hands had built up pretty bad carpal tunnel in them. And so I had that surgery, but during that whole time, and they're great now, I would actually drum, and I couldn't actually feel my hands. I had no idea whether I was holding a drumstick or whether I was hitting it with my hands. I would play guitar, and I couldn't even feel my fingers. I had no idea where the strings were when I was playing. After one song, I had no feeling whatsoever. And so that's kind of where my body had got to. And that whole time, that suffering was because my body wasn't functioning properly. My body wasn't doing what it was meant to be doing. And when we look at the picture of the church, if the whole church as a whole membership is not doing what they're called to do within the church, then there is a suffering that happens. Because other parts of the body then have to pick up the slack and do things that they're not called to do. It's like when you break a leg and you have to use the one leg constantly and there's just this pain because you're on the one leg, or worse, when you're on crutches and your armpits are burning because you have those crutches and it's just killing you because you're suffering because one part of your body isn't carrying the load it's supposed to be carrying at that moment. We see that in the church. There's this joke that happens within the church, and it's not funny at all, that 5% of the church does 100% of the work. Why is that? That 5% of the church or 10% of the church or whatever number it may be does all the work and other parts of the body just come and sit and then leave and then go home. That's not the function of the body. That's not what God has called us to do within the church. And so we see this example that you have been placed here for a reason. He has a purpose for you being part of RBF. You are a necessary part of RBF. And though you are different than every other part, and that is a good thing because that is God's design, you are vital. You are important. Last year, about this time, I did a sermon very much like this, and it was actually the same passage. And I handed out these little puzzle pieces. I don't know if you still have yours anywhere. I know Chris has his hanging from his rearview mirror. And every single one of them said gifted on the back. Without your piece of the puzzle plugging in, you couldn't see that whole picture of the puzzle. And it was a picture of the church, and I have a little, I'm not sure what it is, piece of grass maybe, or a piece of building for the church. But that still stands true today. The same sermon that I preached last week is the same idea today, or last year, is the same idea today. We are vital to the church. Plug in. Get involved. That's what the challenge here is. And so this second realization is that membership means that we are different, but we still work together. And when we don't work together, there is a suffering within the body of Christ. The next realization is this. Membership means that everything we say and do is based on the biblical foundation of love. Okay, so where am I getting that in this passage? Here's what we need to do. You got to look around the passage a little bit as we read the one section. And when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're talking about these spiritual gifts, and we're talking about the unity within the body and the body working together and realizing that you are all so important and all necessary part of the body for it to function properly. You cannot just check out. You cannot just leave and you need to be a part and plugged in. And right after that is the passage that we read at weddings. 1 Corinthians 13. That passage is not a wedding passage. It's a great idea of love. It's a beautiful picture of love. But there is nowhere in that passage that it says, please read this at a wedding. That passage comes directly after the body of Christ. And so the attitude that we are called to have, talking about these different gifts, is an attitude of love. Because these chapters, these numbers, are just so we can find where we're talking in the Bible. These weren't in the original text. And so I can say, instead of saying, turn to the third scroll you've been carrying on your back and open it up, and about halfway down, a little bit over from to the right, about an inch and a half up, that's where you're at. No. And so I can say, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12, and let's read in verse 12 also, and then you can go right there. So much easier. But those numbers, for some reason, tend to make us separate Scripture and go, okay, this is an idea for weddings and this is an idea for church. This is, in the biblical context, most relevant to the body of Christ because it's directly tied to the body right here. And it says this, and it's talking about those gifts because the body looks around and goes, I don't have that gift, I don't have that gift. And so it's talking about these gifts, and it says, if I speak in human or angelic languages but do not love, I'm a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, so that I can move mountains, but do not love, I am nothing. And if I donate all my goods to feed the poor, and I give my body in order to boast, but do not love, I gain nothing. Here's the picture of love within the church. Love is patient. Well, that's not easy. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not conceited. It does not act improperly. It is not selfish. It is not provoked. It does not keep a record of wrongs. Do we do that within the church body? Do we have a list of, man, so-and-so didn't shake my hand today, or they didn't smile at me, or maybe when they smiled at me, they had something in their teeth, and that was offensive, and I just don't like that. Like, why would you eat spinach before you come to church? I don't know. And we have these things that offend us and bother us, and we keep this record of wrongs, and we think, if they do one more thing, I'm just going to keep on being mad. Does not keep a record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. You think love is easy? Bearing something is not easy. It bears all things. Not some things, all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never ends. This week, I got a call on Friday afternoon from Wes, who used to be the interim pastor here. And he called me and said, there is a young man up at one of the restaurants locally that is wanting to take his life. And he's got a plan of how he's going to do it. Is there any way you can go up and talk to him? And he was already sitting with another pastor. And so I walked in and there was two of us that sat down and talked to this young man, 23 years old, and wanted to end it all. And he said this, and it struck me then, and it just struck me again as I was reading this, because I wasn't planning on talking about this. He had gone to church after church after church that claimed to be Christian, and they had told him that he was unwelcome, unloved, didn't want him to be a part of their church. That's what he said. Now, they might not have told him that, but that is exactly how he felt. Because he wasn't an eye, he wasn't part of the body. Because he wasn't a foot, he wasn't part of the body. And that rejection of the church and the rejection in his family and rejection in other places was enough to weigh him down to the point where he wanted nothing to do with the church anymore. And God worked in a miraculous way from a man who had hopelessness filling his life to a man who had hope when we left. And the Holy Spirit worked in him. It's amazing to see how God worked. I walked out of that place and I looked at my phone and I had absolutely no service. I had no idea why. I should have had service the whole time I was in there, but my phone had absolutely no service. And I shut my phone off and turned it back on, and message after message started coming through my phone, two or three messages. And had I been having a conversation with this guy and my phone kept on going off, how annoying would that have been? And so God just shut my phone off, shut communication off, and we're sitting there talking. There's Christian music playing in the background, and I'm talking and telling them about Jesus' love for them, and there's a song in the background singing, Jesus died on the cross for you. And it was just amazing, the conversation, how it went exactly with the music, and it was just pouring in. And this guy had been a part of the body, but had been told because he wasn't a foot, he wasn't loved. Because he wasn't a hand, he wasn't part. And he felt separated. I want you to know that no matter how unnecessary you think you are necessary to this body. And every single one of these parts has a purpose. And you have a purpose within this body. Not for your glory, not for my glory, but for God's glory. And so view yourself as necessary because he says you're necessary. So our attitude within this body of believers should be an attitude of love. That's that last realization there. And then fourth, we're going to close with this. And this is once you've realized those three things and start to live out those three things, we have the example that membership is functioning. You are called to function. And we're going to read one passage in this. And it's in the very beginning of 1 Corinthians 12. It won't be on the overhead here. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 says this. Now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. There are different activities, but the same God activates each gift in each person. So each person who has believed in Christ has a special gift. A demonstration of Spirit is given to each person to produce what is beneficial. You have been given a gift to produce what is beneficial in this body of believers. So let me ask you this. What if every single church member was involved in church, was as involved in church as you are? What if every single church member used their gift like you do? Would this be a functioning body of believers, or would nobody be doing anything with the gifts God has given them? Let's pray. Lord, this is a challenging passage because it challenges us to get active. As part of the body of Christ, it tells us to use the gifts you have given us, and that's a scary thing. To step out and say, I've never used this before, but I want to start plugging in as part of the body of Christ. I want the church to function fully, not on partial power. So, Lord, I pray that the church, your body, those here, Lord, that you have placed here, I pray that they will get active. I pray that they will start functioning with the gifts that you give them. That they will do that in love, realizing that it's because of your love for us, we are called to live out this love within the church body. And that you have placed us here for different works within this church body. We are not going to all be the same, Lord. And that every single part of this body is fully necessary. And Lord, I pray that you help us to live that out. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.